presented by Nolens & Company. Come experience the culture and community of Nolens.
You wouldn't believe it if I told you. It comes from honky-tonks and speakeasies. It's got magic voodoo, the Lord and reefer, red beans and rice, light and darkness and triumph. Hard to believe because it's so, impossible, right? But it's all true. Every word. And a poor boy from the district travels around the world today just blowing his horn. And people everywhere, they smile and applaud.
News around the world. The year 1960. Preaching the gospel of New Orleans jazz to every corner of the world, it's Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, Pops as he likes to be called, one of the foundational figures in modern jazz. Here he is being carried in royal style during his tour of the African Congo.
I always say a note is a note in any language.
Reports say Armstrong's presence actually stopped a war.
These cats were fighting. Guns shooting at each other, and we started playing. Well, they all stopped fighting, sat together, rifles on their shoulders, having a grand time, yeah. And then we left, and the shooting started up again.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with Louis Armstrong. Jay-Z and Beyonce, Bruno Mars and Frank Ocean, LeBron, Kanye and Usher, none could exist without Pops.
Well, when I pick up that horn, that's all. The world's behind me, yeah? And I don't concentrate on nothing but it. That's my living. That's my life. That's my first love. I love them notes. That's why I try to make them right, see? I suppose you have to start in New Orleans around 1900. Now, notice I said around 1900, see? I was never good with years. But that town, though, New Orleans, sweet and spicy like a good old jambalaya. Oh, the smells of that, Jack. The jasmine, the gardenias, magnolias, beautiful. The block where I was born was the most crowded street you ever saw. Folks of all sorts, just church people, hustlers, gamblers, prostitutes, cheap pimps, thieves, and lots of children. Well, my mama was 15 when I came along. On the night I was born, she used to tell me that there was a big shooting scrape in the alleys, and it was the 4th of July. Folks celebrating with shotguns and pistols and whatever weapon they could find, right? She told me that somebody got killed that night. One man had to die to make room for another to be born, what she said. It was making space for me that night. And into the world I came, to the sound of shotguns and hollering. My mama, May Ann, she didn't know my daddy too well, neither did I. He never had time to tell me nothing. He was out there too busy chasing chippies when you could find them. Well, the blow-ups came and went, and so did my pappy. And a few years later, I heard tell they were together again. Meanwhile, I was sent over to live with my grandmother, Josephine. There's somebody at the door. Sounds like my daddy up and left again. Man was sick, awful sick. This man took me to see her, to take care of her as best I could at age 5 or 6. My mama's place in Storyville. One room. Today you call it a shack. She called it home. Mama? Mama. She looked up at me like it was the first time she ever saw me. Oh, this bright smile in her face. She grabbed my hand real tight. I'm so sorry, she said. I'm so sorry I've not done what I should by you. Mama's gonna make it up. Yeah, I remember she was crying. She was crying a lot in those days. So, she sent me to Rampart Street to buy 50 cents of meat, bread, red beans, or rice. Yes, sir. Oh, I love that good old home cooking, I tell ya. This is what it would take to make a well again, see? I can taste it as I tell you about it. Now, you know, most of my life I sign all my letters, red beans and rice li yours, Louis Armstrong. Mama got better and moved me back in. Willie, my daddy, was back by then, for a while at least. And lo and behold, I had a sister. Three of us in one room. It would happen all hours, day and night, the knocking. Me and my little sister, I called her Mama Lucy, we'd stay out of the way when the strangers came. It's my stepfather. He had a lot of stepfathers. They'd come and go a lot. They'd spend time with Mayanne in her bed. And then they'd leave. I couldn't keep track of them. Must have been dozens. All I had to do was turn my back and a new pappy would appear. Poof. Mama said she was making ends meet. Me and Mama Lucy, we would hear the noise. We'd cover our ears. It was one room. All three of us. Time to go to sleep, Mama Lucy. Well, I didn't much get into trouble as a boy until that day in 1912, last day of the year, New Year's Eve. It took all I had to open up that chest, my mama's wood chest. I knew what was in there, and tonight was the night to play with it. One of my pappies kept a gun in there. And there it is. Lots of boys had cap pistols in those days, and this was better than some toy six-shooter. I loaded it with blanks, and me and my friends went walking down the street, singing. That was across the street. Go get him, Dipper, my friend said. So I pulled my pappy's revolver from my bosom, raised my arm high up in the air, and let her go. Boy, that kid across the street was so frightened, he cut out and was out of sight like a jackrabbit. Well, my friends thought this was the funniest thing in the world. Do it again, Dipper, do it again. I reloaded my gun and raised it up over my head again. That's when I felt two strong arms on my shoulder. It was cold out there that night, but I broke out into a sweat that was even colder. I watched my friends cut and run, and I turned around to see this tall, au-fait detective who'd been watching me shoot that gun. Please, mister, don't arrest me. Please, let me go back to my mama. I won't do it no more. Well, he wasn't having none of that. Now, you might think being locked up was a bad thing, and I suppose it is. But I'll tell you something right now. You wouldn't be hearing me today if I hadn't shot off that gun and spent the next few years in reform school. I mean it. It was called the Colored Waifs Home for Boys. We'd get up in the morning with the bugle and spend the day drilling with wooden rifles. Cleaning buildings, learning skills, and by 9 o'clock sharp, we'd hit the hay. Boy, I can still smell the honeysuckle trees in the evening air. You couldn't run away from the waifs home neither. Everybody got caught and was back within a week. One night, while we were all asleep, a boy tied together about a dozen sheets. He greased his body so he could slide through the wooden bars, and he slowly lowered himself to the ground and disappeared. In the morning, when the keepers discovered he was missing, they had one thing to say. He'll be back soon. And you know what? He was. The months passed, and I had my mind set on one thing and one thing only. The Waifs Home had its own brass band. Oh, the sounds that band would make and the fun those boys had. Every night I would fall asleep dreaming about playing in that band. But would they ever have me? I was raised in such bad company, I had to be worthless. That's what I thought. Maybe that's what they thought. Every day I'd watch the band play. I'd sit on a rock a few yards from the music. I would close my eyes, and I could feel it deep in my soul, that music. The band's director, a man named Mr. Peter Davis, would watch me. And one day, I guess he had quite enough. Say, boy, he was calling out to me. Me, sir? Yeah, you. You ever play in a band? No, sir, I said. Why don't you take this old bugle and see what you can do? Well, I wasn't accustomed to kindness like that. I think I was a little bit too stymied to say no. And that old bugle was the most beautiful thing in the world. I blew it all day long. By the summer of 1913, I wasn't just with the band. I had become the first chair on the cornet. Place was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Me and music are married at home.
The most important figure in 20th century jazz, the first jazz man to appear on the cover of Time. Born in the era of Jim Crow, he's the first African-American to have featured billing in a Hollywood movie, the first to host a sponsored national radio broadcast, and the first to have his contract specify that he would play no hotel that would not accept him as a guest.
What we play is life. Would you like to hear about mine?
Rena Wilson is Pops. Pops is distributed by Drop Biscuit Studios executive producer Mike Agovino. Pops is written by Mark Ramsey with sound design and production by Jeff Schmidt. Please subscribe to Pops on iTunes, Spotify, DropBiscuitStudios.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star rating and review.